back once again with another exciting episode of Rick's Horror Review Show. That's Rick's Rated R Horror Experience Review Show, where we review everything and anything that has to do with horror. Horror movies, horror TV shows, horror documentaries, horror primetime specials from the 1990s featuring Barbara Walters, and I'm Hugh Dow. And of course, we also review the top 10 horror gimmicks in all of wrestling. And if you're wondering what I'm wearing on my head, yeah, might be number 2 here. But we do all of this because around here we absolutely love that shit. But there's a very special type of horror that here at Rick's Horror Experience Review Show, we tend to gravitate towards. And that horror that has to deal with the Catholic Church and demonic possession. But of course, I recently found out that I also love knowing what vampires, well, what they do in the shadows. It's quite the racket. I also love a good zombie story, and if you haven't heard our review on or seen our review on The Crazies with a collaboration with We Are The Mess podcast, go check that out. Of course, I also love a good Witchin's Coven story. Why not? I want to see what they're doing in the woods. And last but not least, I also love myself a good old haunted ghost story of a ghost that haunts you. Or is it haunt you? It's haunts and hunts. If you are new to our show, welcome. If you are a returning listener, welcome back. Now I'm going to take this thing off and reveal the identity of the person that's been speaking. It's me. It's been me all along. Ooh, it's getting hot. Oh my goodness. Oh man. Hey. Oh, my, without my glasses. Who is this person? Let's see if people recognize me. There we go. Superman? Clark Kent. But before my producers start barking in my ears, I'd like to tell you about our socials. Find us on the Instagrams and the TikToks and the YouTubes. You can follow us on our YouTube. If you like that clip, follow us on our YouTube channel. And of course, we're also on the Facebooks. But we don't post a lot of stuff there because that's for the old. And check that out. Check, by the way. Okay, I think I've satisfied my producers. And before I go on, and then what's with this camera to come in, but check this statue out here. Oh my goodness, come on. I'll put it up here. Oh, now you switch. Check that bad boy out, huh? Not bad, not bad at all. I got that in Mexico. Before I go on, let me introduce the co-host of Rick's Horror Review Show, Rick's Horror Experience Review Show. The one, the only, Billy the AI!
Ah, I'm here. Yeah, I'm now just, let's get it done. And, you know, it's good to have you back. It's good to have you back from the future. And, you know, I was sitting here and I was gonna do an episode without you, but then
I kind of changed my mind because I was like, well, I was gonna do
Rick's Red and Bay Horror Review Show.
Okay. You know, you get carried away sometimes, Bill.
Well, I mean, you know, the audience has been waiting for an episode, all three of them.
I actually think it's 4 now. Okay, come on.
All right, man, it's 4. But, you know, it's nice to see you back here, and, you know, I can't really wait to hear about your travels and the found footage that you have. You brought us some found footage, right?
I did indeed brought some found footage from Mexico. I went to several locations. Well, by the way, this is a very special episode. If you did not know that already, Billy. Oh, I mean, the special around is, I totally get it. Yeah, but let's get it done. Let's just jump right into this one. Okay, absolutely. Let's just jump right into this one. And if you are familiar with our show, then you'll be familiar. If you are a familiar, by the way, Rick's Horror Review Show is looking for a familiar to do all of the show's biddings. At the end of your familiar term, we'll turn you into a vampire. Guaranteed! And tonight's special episode, we are going to talk about why we decided to review this experience, why partake in this experience to begin with. Then we'll go into four fun film facts. I'm sorry, we'll go into four fun experience facts with Billy the AI. Then... Oh, I see that kid must have forgotten about this show. Then I'll tell you whether or not this experience was... Hey, mister! Oh, damn you, children. What do you want?
Hey, mister.
Yes, out with it.
Well, you know, I kind of wanted to know, since you went down to the Mexico, if the experience,
if the experience was what?
Well, I kind of want to know if the experience was that.
Get out of here, child! It was a nice week without you, but you're goddamn right, this experience was scary. It's a horror review show! What do you expect? Right back into my Jerry Seinfeld impersonation. Then I'll tell you about the things that I liked about this experience. Then I'll also tell you about the things I didn't like, but not things in general that I don't like. I don't like a whole host of shit, including this damn child that keeps asking me if this experience is scary or not. Up yours, children! I'll tell you in a new segment, specifically tailored for the horror experience review, was whether or not this journey was long and arduous. Was the trip worth it? Now that I think about it, those two sound very similar. Do I endorse the Island of the Dolls? And we'll keep the other one a slight bit of a bonus for those of you who don't know where we've gone just yet. Then I'll tell you, well, then I'll give you a rating. Then I'll give you a ton of context so that you can understand what the hell we're talking about. And then, finally, we'll get into some found footage that I've returned from our travels. And we'll do a script-accurate dramatization of the scenes as they happen. Exactly as they happen down there, Billy. I swear to you, this is exactly what the people said to me. No improvisation. Well, I guess we're going to find out whether or not the truth, but I'm reckon to believe that that's probably not the truth. But you always say that, and I always want to bang some dramatizations, and, you know, you just kind of take a lot of liberty. Very wordy tonight, Billy.
Well, you know, I've been waiting like 2 weeks to have an episode, and, you know, I guess I'm a little angsty, and I just want to, let's get it done.
Well, it's nice to be back, and it's nice to be here with you, and I'm glad that you're ready to go. So, without much ado about nothing, why this experience? Why did we decide to go down? Well, you know, when we started this show all 5 months ago, believe it or not, almost 5 months. Oh my goodness, I completely forgot how to speak English. De hecho, when we started this show, the idea was never just to review horror movies. I think the idea was to try to review as much as we possibly could that relates to horror. That's why we say anything and everything that is related to horror in our introduction, because we really believe that. I think we try to prove it. You know, we've reviewed video games, which I forgot to say in the intro.
horror video games, horror wrestling gimmicks, horror TV shows. We did a show, Follow the House of Usher. We did the Devil Made Me Do It pseudo documentary on the events that happened to old little David Glatzel and, you know, his demonic possession. And yeah, I mean, I'm interested in doing as much as I can in the genre of horror. And sometimes that goes into, you know, real life horror as well, with some, what some people would call true crime. But we like to call that real life horror. And so the idea of the horror experience review is that these events, you know, and eventually we'll do, and I actually have some footage from the last year's Halloween stuff, but the idea is that we can visit places around the U.S., around Mexico for the, you know, for now, because it's close by, stuff that's close by, and get our feet wet. And but eventually the idea is to start traveling all over the world. All over the world. Oh, yeah, ladies and gentlemen, the Macho Man Randy Savage.
Oh, yeah, I've got experience traveling the whole world. Oh, dig it!
Okay, thank you so much, Macho Man. But the idea is to take the show on the road, and, roads,
where we're going, we don't need roads.
God, it's nice to be back. Ah, but I got all this crazy pent-up energy that I haven't been able to use, recording energy. But yeah, the idea is to go around the world and experience the horror experience and review it and have some fun along the way. But, you know, these are always going to be different. I know people have already done the Island of the Dolls down in Xochimilco in Mexico. And there is an island of the creepy doll. They say that it is possessed, but by who?
Yeah, come on.
We're not going to go down there and be disrespectful, which we weren't, but, you know, we're going down there to experience the horror experience from, I'm not going to say from a scientist's perspective. Yes, I'm trained in the sciences. I also don't want to see a, or I don't want to say a skeptic's viewpoint, but, you know, more someone who, you know, isn't exactly drinking the old horror Kool-Aid, or, you know, whether or not this shit is actually possessed. If you like that kind of show, you know, there's plenty of stuff that do that already. You know, they'll put some real dramatic music for you. And then we waited. And then there was a doll, and the doll said to us,
"Mommy, I want my mommy."
We ain't gonna do that shit. I don't want to spoil anything. Did we hear anything? Did we find anything? Yeah, let's just jump right into the stuff. I mean, we're halfway, but anyway, let me hand this one off there. That's the reason for, that's a long-winded explanation for why this horror experience. Now, I'll hand this one right off to Billy the AI so he can tell us four fun film facts with Billy the AI. Billy? Ah, okay. I'm ready. Okay, I'm
a little nervous. I haven't done this in a while.
You're fine. I haven't done this in a while either. I've been gone just as long as you've been gone.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, I would come in here with you. I got a consecrated person energy.
All right. Fine. Take a breather. You breathe? I mean, no. Okay, how about do a 3 millisecond delay? I'm sorry, a 3,000 millisecond delay, and then start. How's that?
Oh, okay, yeah, I can do a 3,000 millisecond delay.
Good. Ready?
Yeah, I'm ready. Ah, okay, that was exactly 3,000 milliseconds, and welcome back to the Four Fun Film Facts with the. I messed up. I said four fun film facts, but we're not reviewing film.
Billy, it's okay. We all make mistakes.
Okay, I'm gonna do another 3,000 millisecond, and then I'm gonna go.
All right, come on.
Okay, here we go.
Welcome back to Four Fun Horror Facts with Billy the AI.
Ah, your daddy's Billy. Now you got it.
Oh, thank you. There's the first one. This is an interesting one for fans of, the golden era of Mexican film. There's a film called Maria Candelaria that was actually debuted in 1944, and it was directed by a gentleman by the name of Emilio Fernandez, and it stars Dolores del Rio. And in this classic Mexican film, they showcase Xochimilco as a central location, and they highlight its canals and chinampas. You know, the chinampas are the floating gardens. I don't know if you knew that.
Of course I knew that. I was on the damn thing, Billy!
Oh, I'm sorry. Anyway, the film uses the natural beauty and traditional aspects of Xochimilco to enhance its romance and its, you know, tragic narrative. Okay, here's film fact number two. The movie Spectre. Do you know Tim's Bond, by the way? Are you...
What's the matter with you asking all this? Of course I know James Bond. What's the matter with you?
Oh, man, you know, not to get testy. Anyway, the movie Spectre. Well, it's not actually set in Xochimilco, but the movie Spectre featured a Day of the Day parade in Mexico City, which is, you know, inspired by the vibrant cultural traditions of Mexico, and the elaborate costumes and settings echo the colorful and lively atmosphere found down in Xochimilco, because the way that they paint the trajineras, they're like a very colorful boat, you know?
I know, I was on one.
Anyway, they showcase Mexican culture and elements to, you know, a global audience. So good job, Spectre. There's also a music video called La Llorona by Ángela Aguilar. And, this modern rendition of the traditional Mexican song La Llorona was also filmed in Xochimilco, utilizing the haunting, beautiful backdrop of the canals and the trajineras to evoke the song's melancholy and mystical themes. You know, interesting enough, they tell you a tale of La Llorona and the trajineras during the Halloween season, which might be something you might want to go back for. Ah, I mean, that sounds like an interesting fun film fact.
Oh man, I said fun film fact again.
I meant to say, that sounds like an interesting experience fact with Rick.
Welcome back to One Fun Experience Fact with Rick, the non-AI, the organic AI, the OI.
Rick the OI. Oh my goodness, that's actually kind of cool. We could be Rick the OI and Billy the AI. Okay, yeah. That sounds with me. Anyway, go on. Anyway, I think at this point we're going to have to mention the pyramids of Teotihuacan. In the other conquest, which is it's English for La Otra Conquista, that film explores the aftermath of the Spanish conquest of Mexico. And it also features scenes shot at Teotihuacan. And the ancient ruins serve as a powerful symbol of the enduring spirit and culture of the indigenous people of Mexico.
Good job.
Anyway, and I'm not gonna ask. You probably already know Indiana Jones.
Matter of fact, I do.
Anyway, and the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull, which you mentioned to me is your favorite Indiana Jones movie, right?
I would never have said that in a million years. The only Indiana Jones film that I personally truly, truly enjoy is the only Indiana Jones film that doesn't have Indiana Jones in the name.
That's as much as I'll say. Okay, I know what you're talking about. The Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, in the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull, your second favorite film.
Not my second favorite film.
I'm just kidding. Anyway, although not actually filmed at Teotihuacan, the movie includes references to Mesoamerican pyramids and civilizations and, drawing inspiration from the architectural and historical significance of Teotihuacan for a storyline involving ancient alien Zebela said, my music right now. Can you push the button? I'm not freaking out over here.
Whoa. Relax. We can just start it again.
Oh, man. I feel so rusty. It's fine. Anyway, there is also a documentary called Teotihuacan, the City of the Gods. And this documentary delves into the mysteries of Teotihuacan and the site's majestic ruins to explore the theories about the city's construction, its purpose, and the sudden disappearance of its inhabitants. And, you know, the film combines archaeological insights with stunning visuals and the pyramids and the surrounding structures. Anyway, that's been four fun experience facts with Billy Day AI.
Not a bad job, Billy. Congratulations. You did terrific.
Oh, thank you. I think I'm kind of rusted, but, you know, let's just get it done.
Fine, Billy. It's completely fine. Let's move on, shall we?
Yeah, let's talk about, I don't want to say it before that kid jumps in there and starts saying all kinds of crazy shit.
I agree. Is this horror experience scary? Now, you've already heard Billy talk about two distinct locations. That's right, we actually went to two. Out of a pure coincidence, it's my chance, huh? I'm gonna be so dumb. 1.21 gigawatts. The whole idea of the trip was, first and foremost, to go down to the Isla de las Muñecas. And also, we had a collaboration with Riggs, El Grimorio de Riggs. If you have not heard his channel, if you want to practice some Spanish, go listen to it. Maybe you already know Spanish. He details all kinds of crazy shit in there, aliens, and, you know, the guy's a published author, 3 times published author, works real hard, has a tremendous following, and go check out his channel. I had the opportunity of meeting him in person, and a friend of his whose name completely escapes me. But she recommended some delicious tacos, which I had, so thank you for the recommendation, friend. Is Xochimilco scary? Is the island of the dolls, la isla de las muñecas, donde las muñecas están, en la isla where the dolls are hanging from the tree? Is it scary? I'm gonna say not really. And as you already know, if you're a fan of the show, hardly anything scares me. So please, Island of the Dolls, Isla de las Muñecas, do not feel bad about the fact that you were unable to scare me. I did go during the day. Let me give the scaries. 2 out of 10 scaries. You're trying, and I like that. I went during the day. And the gentleman who is now the new caretaker of the place told me that I need to come back at night. And I reckon say that I might agree to that, especially after my cat trajinera captain, Mauricio, said that there is, as I briefly mentioned, there's a telling of the Llorona story on the trajineras. And by the way, before I go on context, the trajineras, they're actually, oh my goodness, what's the name of those things in Venice? The gondolas. They're gondolas. And, The gondola captain told me, the trajinera captain, said that they do this telling of the story as you're traveling towards the Isla de las Muñecas during the Día de los Muertos season, the Day of the Dead. So I find that tremendously interesting. I didn't know that I could go during the day, and for it being my first time, I thought it would be appropriate to know exactly what the hell I'm doing during the day before I take a gander, or take a, you know, venture forth during the night. So now that we know, we could potentially go. But again, not really scary as far as La Isla de las Muñecas goes. It's interesting. It's very, very interesting. But scary, I didn't find it scary. But again, disclaimer, I went during the day and hardly anything, aside from the thought of aliens, scares me. Now, oops. I also, as a bonus, went to Teotihuacan, which is in the northeastern part of Mexico State. Now I think it's not Ciudad de Mexico anymore. It's outside the city now, but it's still in the state. And this is where the ancient pyramids of Teotihuacan are. And I went to see the pyramids. But when I got there, and I've been there once before. I was there 10 years ago, full disclosure. When I got there this time around, well, more context, more background. They no longer allow you to climb the pyramids because people were just misbehaving. I had an opportunity to climb them 10 years ago. Then some stuff happened with COVID. The understatement of the year. And the economy, unfortunately, that is driven by the tourism that happens at the pyramids that supports the community around pyramids, the city of Teotihuacan, unfortunately started to take a real nosedive. And so the folks that lived there, the intrepid folks that live in the city, decided to pull together their ideas and the resources to come up with a different kind of tour. And just so it happens to be that they decided to give you a tour around the perimeter of the pyramids. But there's also something very interesting if you're lucky enough to be offered. If you're cool enough, they might tell you, hey, you look like a cool fella. Would you like to see some of them cool caves that are actually and tunnels underneath the pyramids that not everybody gets access to? Little old me! That's my little show. Well, yes, sign me up. So I did that. I had no idea that this thing was a thing, that the thing with the thing, that the thing that I did as a thing was actually a thing. And I reckon venture forth to say all of this long-winded rant, the hecho, to say that the caves are a little bit scary. Silly wabbit. They're a little scary. The caves are, if you're claustrophobic, has anybody here ever seen Ted's Caving Page? I'm going to say this like three times. Ted's Caving Page, Ted's Caving Page, Ted's Caving Page. Read it. Go on the old interwebs and look up Ted's Caving Page. Anyway, you are granted an opportunity to enter caves that supposedly held treasures and also an entrance to the underworld. And just knowing this, that sounds kind of scary. And then you see where the cave entrance where you're actually entering. And the minute you step in there, you're in a different world. The underworld. But no, I think it's scary because I didn't have information going into it. I literally just acted and said, yeah, absolutely. I want to go fuck down. Fuck yes. Fuck yes. Take me down there to the underworld. And it was a little bit of an unknown. I didn't know what to expect. It was also really dark. And some interesting shit happened that made it a little bit scarier. I'll talk about that a little later. But anyway, 6 out of 10. For the Teotihuacan caves, in terms of scariness, I really, really love them. Is the jump scare in our found footage overused? Now you may be wondering, jump scare? What? You're confusing me. We made a Lego movie. We made a little movie about Mexico, and we will present this movie to you live and uninterrupted. After he finishes talking about this so much. It's not. The jump scare's not overused. I never answered the question. My goodness, we're all rusty around here. It's been a while. No, the jump scare is not overused. It's used, but it's not overused. The things I like, as usual, sponsored by no one. Everything. In Teotihuacan, there was nothing I did not enjoy. The day was a perfect 18 degrees Celsius. You're gonna have to look that one up. It was sunny. It was windy. It was rather actually really windy. It actually felt like I was in the set of like an old West movie at some point, and it was just this really amazing and interesting experience. And the last time I went, I don't remember having this much fun. Of course, it was a different experience this time around. But yeah, the mystery of the pyramids themselves, the pyramids themselves are a mystery. What their purpose was, of course, we have somewhat of an understanding what they were used for, but nobody really knows who built them. Nobody really knows their original purpose. And so all of this history, the city of Teotihuacan and its resourcefulness, as I just mentioned, to do something about the loss of income during the pandemic, all this really made my experience in Teotihuacan fascinating. And of course, the tour guide that I had, the gentleman that was there with us the entire time, was absolutely fascinating. Thank you so much for an amazing experience down in Teotihuacan. As far as Xochimilco goes, yes, I also like Xochimilco. The journey to the Island of the Dolls, believe it or not, the journey, and I don't see this being done in the, down in the Island of the Dolls, the creepy dolls, they say.
Oh, mommy.
Oh, did you catch that on the audio? I think I heard somebody say, mama.
In those shows, they don't really show you. I'm not going to be hating on them shows. They're fun. You know, it's fun stuff. But I haven't really seen anybody talk to somebody, the captain, the yacht captain, the Trajinera captain, or having conversations about the journey. Again, this is a 2.5 hour journey to get to the island. And by the way, you have a gentleman, ours, his name is Mauricio, who manually propels, manually takes us, like is moving the Trajinera forward manually and manpower with experience and balance and grace and strength. This gentleman, Mauricio, 58 years. 58 years doing this shit. When he told me that he had been doing this for 58 years, I knew that we were in good hands, and by God, we were. Because the guy was just interesting and full of stories, and he recommended to me where to get the best quesadillas in town. Very important information. But yeah, he was a gem. He knew exactly the entire history. By the way, he met the person who started this doll thing on the island. He knew him personally, and that is an insight that I don't believe I have heard anybody else get, and I had the opportunity to get that from him. And, you know, we can talk about that a little bit as well, but let's move on to other things. I blanked out because I'm rusty. So anyway, there are many things to do on that journey. You can eat, you can drink, you can dance if you do all these things, or you can do what I did, what me and my producer did, which was freeze our asses off and talk to the Trajinera captain, Mauricio. And as I just mentioned, he actually knew Don Julio, not the liquor. No, he knew the man who actually lived on the Island of the Dawn. And he told me as much as he knew about what is now the so-called legend about what he, though, himself saw, not what he heard from a third party, like we all tend to have. This is a second-hand experience. This is an eyewitness. This is a man who has been working here for 58 years, commanding the Trajineras back and forth as many times as 4 times a day, day and night. And so he's intimately familiar, not just with the Xochimilco canals, but with what happened to the gentleman. And from what he tells me,
mm-hmm.
for some reason, this guy just started hanging up dolls. And, you know, this guy seems to kind of, Mauricio is the kind of guy that just kind of keeps to himself. He's not really questioning what you're doing. Hey, what you do on your chinampa is your business. On this boat, I'm the captain. On your chinampa, you're the captain. So he doesn't really question them or anything. He's very cordial with the gentleman, and he knew of him. He had conversations with him. He interacted with him. But the idea of, like, questioning why he was hanging up dolls is not something that our, you know, skipper Mauricio ever did. But it's very interesting to know that he had actual interactions with this gentleman, you know. I found that to be fascinating. He didn't tell me anything else about the story that I already don't know. He repeated it, as I would say, verbatim, which, if you don't know the story of the Island of the Dolls, I'll get into it in a little bit here. This name, Don Julio was in charge of a chinampa. Chinampa is a piece of land. Essentially, these locations in Xochimilco were used to grow vegetables and things and such, and homes where they have ranches and cattle and that sort of stuff. He was a person or a caretaker for one of these chinampas. And one day, a young woman's body, a child's body, washes up near his chinampa, and he retrieves it. From this day forward, it's said that he's haunted by this child, and, you know, he saw the child's doll wash up near the doll, the girl, as the girl is unfortunately floating dead as well. And he decides to start hanging this doll. And he hangs this doll on his modest little, what you would call... Man, it's small. His living quarters on the little island. And from that point forward, for some reason, he keeps hanging up dolls. And the legend says that he's doing this to ward off evil spirits. I asked Mauricio what he thought was the reason for him hanging up dolls. And he just kind of alluded to the fact that maybe perhaps Don Julio wasn't entirely. I would say, you know, that perhaps there were some mental issues going on with that gentleman, and that's the reason why he started doing that, but who really knows? You can take a scientific perspective and say that perhaps the gentleman was suffering from mental health issues, but without any actual evidence, this is still hearsay, even though it's coming from Mauricio. I believe them, seemed like a standard kind of guy, but you know, that's his opinion, and he's obviously not a medical expert, but who knows what actually was happening. But to him, Mauricio, the gentleman was just having psychological issues. The gentleman was lonely, perhaps the gentleman lived alone, and you know, that's his perspective. But yeah, the legend goes that the guy started hanging up the dolls to ward off the evil spirits. Anyway. The things I didn't like. You know, I was already awake about 25 hours at the point that this happened. So, yeah, I was a good awake. But I get to the airport. So there I was at the airport, right? Am I right? So I get to the airport, all right? And I'm looking around and I'm asking myself, okay, well, I got to take a cab or something to my accommodations, right? So, you know, I raise my hand or I look around to see where the cab locations are. And I ask a gentleman, hey, is this where the Ubers are? And he's like, nah, the Ubers are down there. And I said, oh, what's this location for? And he says, well, this is the airport taxi. You want to take one of these? We'll take you anywhere you want to go. 572 pesos. Anywhere you want to go in the city. And I say, okay, well, do you take card? Because obviously I don't have any pesos on me. I just landed. He says, sure, we take card. We take Venmo. We take pesos. We take dollars. We take everything here. So I says to the gentleman, okay, fine. I don't want to walk all the way over there with all my luggage. We'll just catch the cab right here. And we jump into this cab, you know, Cyclops and I, my producer, and then we are on our way. And suddenly, all I hear is, and I look down at my producer, and it's very clearly not him. He's shaking because he has no idea what the hell is going on. And I look up at the driver, and suddenly the driver's half asleep. No, the driver's completely asleep. And I'm like, hey, vámonos. Huh? Oh, see, see. And then this guy has the audacity to do it two more times. He fell asleep twice more. So I had to tap him on the old shoulder. Hey, Hey, vámonos.
Ah, sí, sí, gracias.
He fell asleep twice. Listen, I get it. You're tired, but that is unsafe, bro. You're putting yourself in danger. You're putting myself in danger. Most importantly, you're putting my producer in danger. And then this guy has the audacity to say to me,
hey, you know, for 5,000 pesos, you know, I'll take you around everywhere for 5,000 pesos. What do you think? Sound like a good deal to you, no?
Oh, sure, absolutely. That sounds great. That's what a terrific deal, Mr. Sleeper Man. You want to just give me your WhatsApp phone number, and I'll talk to my producer, and we'll get in contact with you a little later in the day when we've had some rest and have things figured out. True story. Not making fun of anybody. We all got to work, and I get it. You've been awake. I've been awake, but, you know, not cool, man. Not cool. On a more serious note, a very interesting thing that I was sort of aware of before I got there, but the gentrification of Mexico City. Mexico, it seems to me like you have a problem with Americans coming into your country and not paying their taxes. Well, here, I have some advice from you. What you gotta do is you gotta build a big, beautiful wall. You gotta make the U.S. pay for it because there are way too many, and I mean way too many, Americans living in Mexico City, earning in dollars, paying in pesos, and displacing Mexicans all over the city. And you know how bad it is? There's songs just in English in some places in Mexico.
Oh, but you can't have a Spanish sign in America.
Well, maybe in the olden days. That's fine. It's different now. But anyway, the point here is just like, yeah, that seems a little unfair. So yeah, I found that really interesting. A lot of gentrification and a lot of displacement of Mexicans. Mexico, fix it. Take my advice. What's the journey long and arduous? No. I would say it was okay. The overnight flight sucked, which is a red eye. I was up for like 40 hours at one point, 40 hours straight, which wasn't fun. Plus, again, my flight there had a crazy amount of turbulence. I've experienced turbulence before, but it really felt like this is some of the worst I've ever had. Lesson learned. Don't take the red eye, kids. Arrgh. You can easily Uber anywhere in Mexico City, so that's no trouble at all. Anywhere in Mexico City, anywhere really in the, you know, the greater Mexico state area, you can take an Uber too. The traffic is bad, but if you're from a giant city like we are here from LA, it's comparable. I never felt like I was, oh my god, I'm driving down to Mexico. It's too much. Yeah, there's traffic, bro. It's a giant metropolis. What do you expect? No, I wouldn't say it was necessarily arduous. The first part was a little challenging, but you know, we were excited. Didn't really felt like it. Was the trip worth it? I met so many wonderful of my Mexican brothers and sisters, including Riggs, as I just mentioned, and his friend. Hello, Riggs and his friend. I'm so sorry, I forgot your name. And I got to experience some really cool cultural heritage sites, both in Xochimilco and Teotihuacan, and my guide was awesome, and you know, I had such an amazing time, and more importantly, an amazing amount of Mexican food. Ah, the food of the gods. Wrong button. Some of the most delicious tortillas I've ever had in my life. Seriously. Ah. Do I endorse it? Absolutely, 100%. The Rick of Rick's Horror Experience Review Show endorse a trip down to the Isla de las Muñecas, even if you go during the day. It is absolutely worth the journey. Xochimilco, where the island is located, is a cultural heritage site. I was there with a very specific purpose, to see the Isla de las Muñecas, but you can spend the entire day learning about the cultural significance and importance of Xochimilco, and I suggest you do it. I plan on doing it, so absolutely 100%. And if that wasn't enough, You still have Teotihuacan, which is literally, I think, you know, around 60 miles north of, northeast of Xochimilco. Totally and completely worth it. Completely endorse this. Absolutely. A rating! Can I say anything else that's more positive about this experience? A 10 out of 10 for horror experience down in Isla de las Muñecas and also the caves underneath the pyramids of Teotihuacan. An experience like no other, and I cannot believe this is the first traveling experience we've had. Everything else we do after this point is going to be compared to these two. And let me tell you, a 10 out of 10, Mexico, you have set the bar for horror experiences. Trip was completely worth it. Okay. Oh my goodness, this is, I was not planning on this episode being this long. But considering we've been gone for such a while, Captain, Mr. Spock. I'll give you a little bit of context and put a little music. Billy, how you doing over there? How we doing on time? You listening?
I mean, you know, you're 45 minutes, and I think this probably will take you another 5 to 10 minutes, and then I think your video found footage short is like 10 to 15 minutes. You know, you're not entirely pushing the boundaries of the length of the show that you've ever done, but yeah, you'll be okay.
Thank you. Appreciate that. Okay. Context. The caves of Teotihuacan, an ancient Mesoamerican city located in the basin of Mexico, are integral to the city's mystique and archaeological significance. These subterranean features are not just natural formations, but were also expanded and modified by the Teotihuacanos for various purposes, including religious ceremonies and possibly as part of the city's urban planning and infrastructure. The cave beneath the Temple of the Sun and other parts of Teotihuacan are believed to have had great religious and symbolic importance for the people of Teotihuacan. They were thought to represent entrances to the underworld, which our god told us about, playing a central role in the cosmology and religious practices of the Teotihuacan civilization. And by the way, and I don't have it in front of me, maybe I'll show it off in another one, but they have so much obsidian, and they have a specific, I think I'm going to say about half an inch thick disc, obsidian disc, which I was told by the guide the Aztecs used to make observations of the sun, and you can safely look at it with this thing. It was amazing to see. I have this guy here, but I brought all this stuff. I should have brought all this stuff to show off, but... alas! Anyway, you know, the caves, they were thought to represent an entrance to the underworld. And, you know, they also played a central role in the cosmology, as I just mentioned, the religious practices of this civilization. Rituals and ceremonies were also conducted in these caves, and they would have been aimed at ensuring, among many things, fertility. Rain was a big one, and, you know, the eternal cycle of life and death, obviously important. Archaeologists have explored various, including us, regular old Indiana Jones. Archaeologists have explored various of these tunnels underneath the pyramids of Teotihuacan, and have uncovered artifacts that suggest that the spaces were used for ceremonial purposes. One of the most significant discoveries is a tunnel beneath the Temple of Quetzalcoatl, also known as the Temple of the Feathered Serpent, which was found to contain multiple chambers filled with offerings, including jade statues, jade mask, obsidian blades, and the remains of animals and humans, suggesting that these locations were, you know, very likely used for high-level rituals. Now, the tunnel underneath... the tunnel underneath the Temple of the Sun has one notable cave, and this natural cave is located directly, like, I mean, directly immediately underneath the Pyramid of the Sun. And it extends about 100 meters inward and was artificially expanded by the Teotihuacanos. Now, this cave is thought to have been a focal point for ceremonies related to the creation of the world and the gods in Teotihuacan's mythology. And the cave's existence might have been a significant factor in the decision to construct the Pyramid of the Sun and directly above it. Now, if you're not familiar with Teotihuacan and the Pyramid of the Sun, the Pyramid of the Moon, the pyramid at Teotihuacan, the Sun Pyramid, is a monstrosity, and it is impressive and it is beautiful. But it is not, actually not, the largest pyramid in Mexico. No, that honor is taken by the Great Pyramid of Cholula, which I bet you've never heard of before. And I reckon the same, neither have I. But I'm very excited about the possibility of visiting this place. This is bigger. Yes. Take a moment. Open your ears. Rick's going to talk about pyramid and pyramid sizes. The Great Pyramid of Cholula is larger than the Great Pyramid at Giza. You heard that right. It is larger. And it's literally down the street from me, down in Mexico. It's in Puebla. It's very close to where I was in Mexico City. But it's just not enough time. God damn it, Marty. I wish I had a time machine. I'm in a trouble. I got all the time that I want. Rhodes, you want to see pyramids? Rhodes, where we're going, we don't need Rhodes. Yeah, I really needed a time machine for this. Actually, I think we got a hold of one on our journey. We'll see. The found footage will tell everything. There's also current research, ongoing archaeological research and investigations that continue to reveal more and more about the purpose and the extent of these subterranean features underneath the pyramids in Teotihuacan. Advanced technologies, thankfully, such as ground-penetrating radar and robot explorers have been utilized to explore and map these caves and tunnels without causing damage to the ancient structures. As I mentioned earlier, you are no longer allowed to climb these pyramids because, I mean, as somebody who had the opportunity to climb them, I'm glad they don't allow us anymore because, you know, I want these to be preserved and taken care of as the cultural heritage sites that they are and the importance and the significance that they hold. We shouldn't be allowing people to climb them. I'm sorry, you know, I hate saying that because I already had the opportunity of doing it. You know, maybe open them for a limited amount of time during the year or something, but they are impressive. Anyway, moving on to Xochimilco, a little context about Xochimilco itself. The Isla de las Muñecas holds a deeper narrative that extends beyond its initial tale, as I just mentioned, of Don Juan Santana Barrera and the drowned girl, whose identity actually, I don't know. So, as Mauricio mentioned earlier, Mauricio the Trajinera captain, if you listen to the earlier part of the show, Mauricio knew Don Julio. And Don Julio, John Hill, yeah. And the guy's John Hill, yeah. Mauricio knew Don Julio, and he said that, you know, Don Julio, for the most part, was alone. He lived a life of solitude on the island, dedicating his life not only to, obviously, the memory of the drowned girl, but also to the island itself. As I mentioned earlier as well, he lived in a very, very modest hut, I would say. I mean, his accommodations were modest, and there's footage of this in our found footage. And, you know, he was deeply intertwined with the environment of Xochimilco's canals. He lived there for a very long time, I think 70 years or so. He died in 2001, not quite 70 years, but as a reminder that, that life of, and that face of Mexico that is sort of fading away. Like, the canals in Xochimilco are unfortunately going through some rough times, even with the introduction of tilapias and I think another type of fish. They've ravaged the ecosystem there, and it's gone through definitely some changes. But anyway, the dolls on the island themselves, right? That's why we went down there, to see the owl and now the dolls. There is a plethora and a variety and all kinds of different conditions of these dolls. They vary wildly in appearance from factory-made that handmaids, some with missing limbs or heads, others with faded faces or eyes that seem to follow you as you move around the island. And, you know, they have an eerie condition. I will admit that. That adds to the island's interesting, you could say, haunting atmosphere under the right conditions and lighting. You are also, and I didn't know this, the gentleman who takes care of the island now, you are actually also allowed and encouraged to bring an offering to the island, whether that be monetary or, you know, some kind of relic, something, anything. But he also mentioned to me that I could have brought a doll and he would have hung it up on the island, which I thought was really cool. I wish I had known that before I went, but you do now if you're listening. If you plan on visiting, which I just said earlier, you need to visit as part of your horror experience review. Horror experience? I do the review.
Don't you do the reviews?
Oh, I do reviews. No, I'm kidding. As part of your horror experience education, take a doll to the Island of the Dolls and he'll hang it up, which is, I found really interesting. Anyway, these dolls, again, as I just mentioned, they're meant to perhaps bring blessings to those that bring the doll, but also as a means of appeasing the spirits that you know, people believe inhabit the island. There are, of course, I mentioned this several times before, other shows, other people have done this, and there are reports of paranormal activity. Many a visitor and paranormal investigator, including Paranorman, have claimed they experienced strange phenomena on the island, such as the dolls whispering.
Mama.
The dolls whispering or moving or, you know, even opening their eyes in some cases. And some have reported feelings of being watched over or hearing unexplained sounds. There's also cultural significance to the island, right? The island taps into the broader themes in Mexican culture, such as respect for the dead. Absolutely, 100%. We have Day of the Dead, Día de los Muertos, where the boundary between the living and the dead is both honored and blurred. But sure, maybe that's what he was doing. He was paying respect to the dead. In terms of environmental context, the canals and the island are part of Xochimilco and the canal system, which I've mentioned already, which is a UNESCO World Heritage Site. The network of waterways around that island, or the artificial islands called Chinampas, dates back to prehistoric. I'm sorry, not prehistoric. Dates back to pre-Hispanic times and was crucial to the agricultural practices of the area. Of course, media and attention and tourism has caused a global fascination with the Island of the Dolls, and the island has been featured in many, many shows, numerous articles, documentaries, TV shows, travel channels, of course, including anything and related to travel and or paranormal focused programming. And this media attention has thus turned into a must-see location for those who are interested in the macabre, the supernatural, or unique cultural practices, including
yours truly.
And this has had a positive impact on tourism. You know, the island's fame has brought an influx of tourists, including myself, to an otherwise rather quiet area, providing an economic boost, but also, I think, raising concerns about the preservation of the island and its dolls. I think that, you know, when I went in, I was literally just allowed to explore, and I'm an adult. Yeah, the guy was nice enough. He's like, hey, you know, he literally said to, you know, he means like, this is your home, go and explore. And I found that rather welcoming, but he could trust me. You can trust me to do that. I not touch it. I touch this door. I wasn't going to go around and touch things that I wasn't supposed to, but you know, I can imagine somebody taking advantage of that hospitality, and I just hope that he does a good job at the very least of keeping those would-be pranksters in check to make sure that they don't ruin the thing that they've got going on there, because I think it's a really interesting and unique experience. So. And now a bonus on Ajolotl. Now, Xochimilco, it's not known just for the Island of the Dolls. It's known for its canals. It's known for its, you know, glorious trajineras, and super experienced yacht captains. But there's also an extraordinary fish that has even, it's extraordinary for what it can do. It's able to regenerate its limbs as well as other body parts such as its heart, its lungs, and even some parts of its brain. And, you know, obviously this is significant in research, and this is fascinating. You know, it has a unique appearance with feathery gills and, you know, wide mouth, and I have a very distinct, I would say, somewhat otherworldly appearance, contributing not just to the scientific popularity, but, you know, popular culture as well. There's, they make like these really cool creatures of this ajolotl, but he is native of this, of the waters there in Xochimilco, which I found fascinating. I think there's 7 different variants of the creature itself, but unfortunately, it is critically endangered. Due to many factors, due to habitat pollution, as I mentioned, the introduction, the human introduction of invasive species into the Xochimilco ecosystem. I mentioned, I think tilapias was one of them. And thankfully, there are conservation efforts which are ongoing to preserve the unique species and its natural habitat. Thank you. Now, the ajolotl holds a special place in Mexico culture and mythology. The name ajolotl comes from Nahuatl, the language of the Aztecs, and can be translated to, get this, it's translated into water doll. Holy shit! I had to say that, and I had to put that in there. The ajolotl itself, maybe Don Julio knew something that we don't know about. And the Island of the Dolls is not just a tribute to this girl, but also a tribute to appease the Xochimilco monster, the ajolote, the water doll. Anyway, that's it for background and another rating. Actually, no, we'll do the next rating after the found footage. So without further ado, let's jump right into this one here. And this is just, I'll do a little voiceover work over this footage. Maybe I'll pause and not pause. And considering we're good on time, a minute two, this is only 13 minutes long. I put together a collection of images and videos. And by the way, before I go on to this, now I'll say it, I'll pause it and I'll give you a little bit of context as I go, just to make things interesting. Oh my God, I look so stupid. Oh man, I am off my rocket tonight. Anyway, without further ado, let's see. Let's see what we can do without further ado. Or is it this one here? Oh, here we go. Now I'm a little window and it's a large window. And without further ado, it is the found footage from my trip to Mexico, La Ciudad de Mexico. Yeah. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to do commentary style. Like, you know, if you've ever seen a movie and a director, that would be me. Does commentary style about the footage. That's what I want to do. I could have done a voiceover on this, but I frankly felt like I enjoyed these as a kid watching like the footage and the director talk about the footage. So that's what I'll do. Ah, of course. How are we getting down to Mexico? We're not going to fly. We got to the airline. And me and Cyclops are there. Cyclops, put in the numbers. We gotta get back to Mexico. This is us leaving at 11 or so o'clock at night. And the journey for us was, for the lack of a better word, instantaneous. This is the Castillo de Chapultepec. Look how beautiful it is.
De la Sierra Morena, cielito lindo, vienen bajando. Un par de ojitos. ojitos negros, cielito lindo de contrabando. De la Sierra Morena, cielito lindo, viene bajando.
Un par de ojitos negros,
cielito lindo de contrabando.
Usually there's a giant fly here at the Socala Primos and Pedro. Check this out. Oh my god! Thank you for these tortilla chips! Lord! And of course, La Virgencita! Right outside the restaurant. And this is that piece of obsidian I was talking about. You can see through the sun the Aztecs used to observe. And there's actually one. There I am! Ha! There I am! Looking through at the sun. And I'm, this is all in Teotihuacan when you do that tour. They have places. Oh, look at that, my gacho. Oh, it's like, what a cute. There's my guide in the pyramids. This guy was awesome. Go look for him. And that's the pyramid of the moon. And here I am making cacao by hand. That was a natural one. Found myself a date. My lady. Check this out. That's guacamole. Omega. Come on. This is El Palacio de las Bellas Artes, which I did not get to go in. There's so much to do. Oh my goodness, the tacos here. Oh. Oh. Look at those things. Oh. My goodness. Look at the amount of salsa. By the way, that red one and that green one now at the top and in the middle. Delicious. And then some of the best. This is just cheese. This is, I forget what this is called. This is phenomenal. Freshly made flour tortillas with that cheese. Oh. And this was, I forgot what this was, but this was also delicious. Chayote. And this is a piece of chicken that I had, which is phenomenal. These are all with, oh, this is Mexican gourmet. And this is a dessert that was phenomenal as well. This is a restaurant called Fonico. And this is me and Cyclops outside our accommodations. And yeah. And here we are at the Templo, no, Monumento de la Revolución. And here we are again. Catedral and Our Lady of Guadalupe in the background, of course. Oh, Lord, I'm back. Uh-oh. We're inside. We're inside the church. And yes, Cyclops was inside as well. And then the priest called us over to say, "You must be blessed. Your dog has the DP, the demonic possession. I must sprinkle him with the holy water." And you can see Cyclops doesn't like that. But he was ready. He was ready for the journey after that. Just a tad bit of a cultural experience. There's so much to do and see. But now it's an Angel and the Independencia. And now, bonus Teotihuacan. Just to give you, we obviously didn't fly, we took a time machine here, but you know, to give you a little bit of context of where we were and where this is, that's the Pyramid of the Sun. And it was really, really, I'm sorry for the shaky footage here, and this is the Pyramid of the Sun. And look at the monster, the size of this car, for context. This is a behemoth. And unfortunately, it was really windy. There's something wrong with my drone. And by the way, I was not allowed to actually film inside, but I couldn't help myself. I'm sorry, Mexico. But I panned over. So this is the Pyramid of the Moon. And now in between, all this call is the Valley of the Dead. And my guide was telling me that this, when people played the game, and I forgot the game, my goodness. But when you were sacrificed and people wanted to be sacrificed, you were walked through the Valley of the Dead to be sacrificed at the Pyramid of the Moon. And it's called the Teotihuacan was the city of the gods because it was said that when you, and I may be wrong, if you've done that out there rigging, listening, and you know better than me, I'd love to hear this. But it said that if you were sacrificed, you wanted to be sacrificed after you won the game, you became a god yourself. And therefore, the Valley of the Gods. Sorry about the shaky footage here, but the volcano was not cooperating with us. But this is before I actually went underneath. And here we are, me and my producer, obviously. And here we are now to traversing and around the pyramid. This is all the city of Teotihuacan, and the guys over there are fun, and you should really do this too if you go down there. Go down there. You could tell him to stop if you find anything interesting. Like, you are literally dictating where you go on the tour. And he is, my producer telling us that we need to go to the caves and not waste any time. He's very adamant about going to the caves. I'm telling you right now, hurry up, make this machinery, contraption go faster. And we finally arrived. Okay, so here's the entrance. Okay, so it'd be fun. I want you to notice something here. This is someone's home. I don't want this close. Where it is. I'm just going to say Laura de las Cuevas, I think what she was. And this is her home. And she has this tunnel in her home. And this leads, towards the pyramids. It's fascinating. This is all in Teotihuacan. More disclosure. Unfortunately. Now, I'm not going to say this was paranormal. Okay? There was something wrong with my GoPro. Okay? There was something wrong with the GoPro before I got here. And unfortunately, I was only able to get a little bit of video footage of inside. As soon as I went in there and I tried turning it on, I had four batteries. Woo! Four horsemen batteries. I had four batteries. And for some reason, the GoPro just kept turning off. Now, not chalking this off to anything supernatural. The GoPro was, I felt a little bit unprepared. But, alas, we were right. We needed to go on. But anyway, this is a glimpse at what the outside of the entrance to the one of the caves underneath. Look at that. And now they've actually, and look at this here. This is a calendar, a Gnostic calendar. And this is really interesting. This is embedded into the wall. So this has been here. And I was asking her. Her family has been here for generations and generations and generations. And even my tour guide traces his lineage back to, he can trace some of his lineage back to, hundreds of years, which was really fascinating. But there is the same case with them. Okay, so here's the entrance. And yes, if you're wondering, Cyclops, my producer, does indeed go down there. And here's proof. Remember this, huh? There we go. Watch as we go down. It's very, very narrow. Yeah, you can stand up a little bit in there. Like, it's a small entrance, but then you find places. Oh, look at that. Interesting. Wow. I'm going to put that back. I'm probably going to make this available just as footage without me talking or being part of the show if you're just interested in watching. But check that out. This is ancient, man. That is awesome. That is incredible right there. It's history, but anyway, look at that. Okay, so here we go. I also had a light, which, by the way, also didn't want to cut in the core. But here we go. And then we reach the first point. There's three levels, and that is it. The camera stopped working there. And, I was in Lara's time. She's nice enough to take us down there. It's part of the tour, sure. And she doesn't charge you. Of course, tip her. Tip her. Everybody, please tip everybody down there. They're amazing and they're letting you into their home. The least that you can do is give them a tip. But we're down there on this first level where they have this, ofrenda. And, she's explaining about what potentially could have been here. This is obviously decoration that they made, but she's talking about the ofrendas and how important they were to the culture of the Teotihuacans. And this is a representation of what, they think was down here, including masks, which were used to bury people, the jade mask. And there's a legend behind that as well. There's so much history here. And because this was such an unprepared plan of it, I was just amazed by everything that was down here, So anyway, the camera stopped working, but thankfully I still had my phone and I was able to take some pictures here. Now, this one's interesting. This is a jade mask, as I just mentioned. This was what people were buried in. You would put this thing on, and it signified. I think they put this on, and again, please, if you're an expert in this, tell me if I'm wrong. It allowed the gods and the underworld to see your face, this jade mask. And this was a representation of what a kitchen down there would be. And this is in the second level. And this is not accurate in terms of like, this is like, now this was a kitchen 300 years ago. This is where they think what the kitchen was. You know, this is obviously all set up for the tourists, but the tools are probably identical in terms of what they were using to, you know, to grind up that delicious corn. Mm-mm, delicious tortillas down here. And there's another jade mask and another ofrenda, a shrine. And this one's interesting. Check this guy out. Look familiar? Yeah, that's right. Look at this guy. Huh? I got myself one of them bad boys right here. And there I am. And I gotta tell you, there was two more levels. The cameras, I couldn't snap pictures in the second level anymore. I was carrying Cyclops, and as she was talking to me, I was having a hard time breathing now. And the whole point was to have the, you know, the camera, the video one work, but unfortunately it just did not work. So at this point, this means to me that I must venture forth back for a second part of the caves underneath Teotihuacan. Yeah, like I was inside, I mean, a little bit maybe, but you know, I was able to capture some really cool stuff. And the next time I go down here, I'm gonna be really, really prepared and maybe make just time to go to these locations now that I know that they're here, and hopefully, you know, we get offered this. And by the way, this guy on the side, I think, is in Ajoloto, which I just mentioned the fish earlier. But yeah, this is really fascinating stuff, and I was really shocked that the cameras just didn't work down here. You'll find I have so much footage of Xochimilco, of the trajineras, and yeah. Let's venture forth to the island. Of course, we gotta get to the Xochimilco Island somehow, so we gotta jump into a time machine and get there. And here we go, instantaneously arrived. You know, it's raining in the morning. You can take a canoe as well. And some of these locations are a lot wider than others. This is sort of a larger one, but we took some really narrow ones. And this is really fascinating to see. There's cows there, as I mentioned, the vegetation. Everything about this place is just magical. And there's not easy. And this gentleman, 58 years of doing this. 58 years. And, you know, he was a skipper. He was a bread maker and also a musician. You go down there, look for this guy, and again, give this guy a good tip, man. This guy did an amazing job. At one point, and look at this technique, like he's just having a conversation with me while rowing. And by the way, I tried, I think this footage is, I tried rowing this for a while. And this shit is not easy. You gotta maintain your balance. Like, you gotta know where, like, it's money. It's not like completely hard. It's really weird. And right now it looks like he's in the easy part. Most of the journey he's often to the side and like actually placing his foot on the side of the trajinera near the edge. He might be doing that right now. And look at where he just puts the thing all the time. Like this technique. Oh, jump scare time. The jump scare was not overused. But anyway, yeah, Mauricio, he's just, check this one out. This is the part where it's like, there's a log here. There's a log here that was going to prevent us from going forth. And he assessed the situation like a couple minutes before this. And he's like, okay, here's what we're going to do. I'm going to flip this boat over. No, upside down. I'm going to flip it around. And then we're going to go on there. No big deal. I've done this a million times. And that's exactly what he did. I was worried that he was going to tell me, we got to turn back. The spirits around us have manifested a typhoon that will no longer allow you to traverse to the Isla de la Muñeca. Nope. He just said, I'm going to turn this shit around and I'll just row this boat gently down this stream, merrily, up until you see the Isla de las Muñecas. And that's exactly what this guy did. And I'm going to capture this list. This rotates it. Oh, yeah, and hitting the things is completely fair. They're actually, there's metal around these things. And so they're built for this. These things are
built for tough.
And he just flips it. And instead of pushing, now he starts pulling, as I would say. You know, he goes out to the front of the ship now, which is... Oh, there I am. Jaylen, look at this guy. I told him, all right, Mauricio, let me show you a thing or two. Look at this technique. Huh? And his Mauricio's like, wow, a total pro. Look at this. Oh, yeah. And he's like, all right, let me take over. And finally, we arrive. And let me say this to you. 2.5 hours this guy rode us to get here. 2.5 hours. Now, you notice how empty this trajinera was. Mine was, you know, also empty. You could get, you know, band together with some people. And I could tell that these people spoke English because I heard them. So I could have said to them, hey, guys, it's Rick from Rick's Horror Experience Review. Do you guys want to be on the same trajinera with me? But, I didn't. Anyway, we got Mauricio and they got this guy. So here we are. At the Isla de las Muñecas. And there it is. There it is. Ah! Uh-huh. Check that out. You can already see that there's some dolls hanging around here. Ah, who is this strapping young fellow? And here we go. And we arrive. It's 50 pesos to get in. We paid a little more because I don't know if he's trying to con us or not, but we paid more because we had like a GoPro with like a pro mic and I have my drone and, you know, he wanted more money to let me film.
Yeah. My producer says, keep on producing.
The producer says keep on producing, they said.
Oh yeah, this is the island of dolls. Right here in such a neat area. You see, it's impressive.
Itself is not that large, to be honest with you. And I'll give you an aerial footage. I'll give you an aerial view of it. And I have the entire island covered in terms of like me walking around and seeing the dolls. So at this point, he's starting to explain to us the history.
Alright, so yeah, this is Don Julio's favorite, the doll. He loved this doll, Don Julian. And there he is, and he didn't have no kids, but I am here, and I got this little stick, and it's very cool.
Look who's happy to be back. The producer. And I'm going to give this one a rating before I go again. And I'm going to say, That's going to be enough for this one. I'm going to release this as just a film. Probably a little longer. I'll add more stuff. I felt like 13 minutes was a lot already. But maybe now that I've watched it here. Feels a little short. But if you're still here in this episode of Rick's Horror Review Show, Rick's Horror Experience Review Show, thank you so much for joining us. We really appreciate you being here. Follow us on our Instagram, on our TikTok, on the YouTube. Be a friend. Tell us about a horror experience where you are from. I'd love to hear it. I'd love to visit it alone or in pairs. Thank you so much for listening. We appreciate you being here as always. If you're a new listener, thank you for being here. If you're an old returning listener, we're back. We're back and we're better than ever. Thank you so much. We'll catch you next time on another exciting episode of Rick's Horror Experience Review Show.